I just had this thought. Are black people into S&M because of the whipping? And and it just kind of went from there.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another Saturday night. It is I, Josh Hadley, your humble narrator. God damn it, I'm doing that Orson Welles thing again.
You can't turn it off.
I don't know what to say. I go to Orson Welles a lot, I guess. I don't know. You know, I mean, he does play Dark Tower. Remember that old cool game he played? And he played it in July.
He did play it in July. I think, even though I think he was still alive when you were born, but you might somehow be a reincarnation of Orson
Welles.
I was
10 when he died.
Sometimes it works retroactively. I'm not a scholar. I'm not a theologian, so I don't know exactly how it works, but it's possible.
As you can hear, Chucko the Mucko is here. And Kat is not, because she has been assigned the zombie shift for the last week. So right now her brain is in a constant state of rebooting. So Kat will not be joining us this week, so it's just Charlie and I. And Charlie
We've
and I...
We've all been there.
You know what? It's just two guys. AdamandEve.com. You could go there, use the promo code WHAT, get 10 free gifts. You could get 6 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, a gift for him, a gift for her. You're the her, by the way. And free U.S. shipping. That went...
I haven't been on that site in a while, but I bet there's a sex toy on AdamandEve.com intended for two dudes to use, like a Chinese finger trap, but for dicks.
If that doesn't exist, it should.
Right? Get on that, science.
You know, yeah, if that does not exist, then it's a tragedy of... It's a waste of humanity, really.
We're missing out. If you want to give credit to the Chinese, that's fine. Call it the Chinese cock trap or something.
I don't know what we're going to do for this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Because we've got a whole lot of them. How about the Chilean radio station that allowed one of their DJs to get, their words, a rim job on the air? I don't think licking whipped cream out of an ass crack is a rim job technically, so I think they're overstating that. But did you read that story?
Yeah, that one I did read. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction. I don't think there should be an FCC complaint filed against that, because it's... Who in the fuck listens to regular radio anymore? Nobody heard that
shit. This is Chile.
Yeah, okay, even in Chile. I think there's enough kids walking around Chile with iPods that are getting, like, Sirius or XM and stuff. And, like, yeah, I didn't even know about this until I read about it on this thing that I have here.
Well, see, what happened was the Chilean DJ asked listeners what they would do for free tickets to an electronic dance music festival. And then one woman said that she would lick whipped cream out of a man's asshole for these tickets. So the DJ took her up on it. Like I said, the news is calling this a rim job. The photos clearly show it's just there's whipped cream in her ass crack. And then the DJ, I think, in one of the most powerful dick moves I've seen in a long time, no pun intended, after she did that, which would be what wins her the tickets, right?
Sure.
He said that he'll give it to somebody who would then make out with her after she had just tongued his butthole. That's really being an ass, isn't it? Again, no pun intended.
Yeah, I think you can go ahead and intend those puns. It's fine in this case.
Of course, the radio station apologized, and we made a mistake, and blah, 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 and the DJ's been fired. Okay, how much must you like dance music to lick whipped cream out of a dirty, and this guy looks like every indication of a dirty hippie from the photos, doesn't he? Out of this guy's asshole.
Yeah, it would take a lot to get me to do it in the first place, but not with that guy. Like, that, she should get those tickets for that, because that could not have been pleasant. But no. I think we all have that line. You and I are fanboys at heart. I'm sure something would come along. Maybe we don't even know what it is, but something would come along that you would want to do so bad that for tickets you would lick whipped cream out of a dude's asshole. I think we all have that line.
I would totally go down on Michael Ironside because it's Michael Ironside.
No,
I would swallow for Michael Ironside.
Totally. We all have that line. We don't even know it until we hear it. But for all of us, something clicks. Do this. It's worth it. That's what she was thinking when she did it. And she must really love electronic music. I'm not a fan. I don't think that I would even have whipped cream licked out of my asshole by someone else if I had tickets. I would just, no, this doesn't feel right. Just take them.
And this is the man who once came in his own mouth.
Yeah. So I know what it's like. And it's not pleasant. I'll tell you that. Yes, I swallowed because that's how I was raised.
All right. Well, how about we go to a little bit more funny? Do you ever watch C-SPAN, Charlie? Does anybody?
There are some C-SPAN drinking games that I used to play back before I quit drinking. Like, one was during the Capitol Report. I forgot what it was. Like, you have to do two shots with bacon salt every time someone mentions pork expenditures. Like, something like that.
If you're arguing with your brother on C-SPAN, there's two pundits. They are Brad and Dallas Woodhouse. And one's a lefty, one's a righty. One's a Democrat, one's a Republican. They are arguing about Obamacare on live television. So the host goes and takes a caller. And the host swears this was not a setup. It was their mom calling to tell them to quit arguing and just for once get along.
Let's go to Joy. Now go to Joy in Raleigh, North Carolina. Good morning.
Hey, somebody from down south.
Well, you're right, I'm from down south.
Oh, God, it's mom.
And I'm your mother. And I disagree that all families are like ours. I don't know many families that are fighting it.
Would your mom humiliate you on live television like that, like the Woodhouse brothers?
First of all, Brad and Dallas Woodhouse could not sound more like a cartoon couple of rich guys that are the villain of whatever the story is. Like, you can just imagine sweaters tied around their shoulders, just like, it could not be
more. We created Facebook.
Exactly. They're those fucking Norwegian twins. So I just had to get that off my chest right away. But I don't think my mom would do this because my mom doesn't really embarrass easy. I mean, she's actually written one of my jokes that I do regularly. And it's one of your favorites, the black people in S&M. She came up with a premise for that. Like, I got a text from her one day and she's like, I just had this thought. Are black people into S&M because of the whipping? And it just kind of went from there. So I don't think my mom would do it. But
casual racism, huh?
Yeah. I discovered something recently. Racial humor, to me, is okay if it comes from the right place, like within the right context. And the right context for me is dumb and not mean.
I think that exemplifies you perfectly.
Exactly. Like, it doesn't seem racist if you believe the joke is coming from ignorance rather than anger. And I think I can pull that off very well. But from C-SPAN's point of view, I think this whole thing is just marketing. I think two brothers, one of them liberal, one of them conservative, that just sounds a little too perfect for me. And then to have someone call, it was probably an actress. It probably wasn't even their mom. If, in fact, they're actually brothers. Cynicism kind of takes over on this one for me because it just seems too perfect to actually happen.
Now, kids just love Nazis, right? I mean, Nazi memorabilia is a kid thing, right? I mean, the kids just love those swastikas, don't they?
Go on.
Well, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know those little vending machines that when we were kids were 25 cents, now they're 75 cents, where, you know, you're at the grocery store or whatnot, and they come in the little bubbles and they're little plastic baubles?
Yep, shit in a plastic egg.
Yes. Well, a four-year-old went and...
I put temporary tattoos over my ass crack before it was cool when I was seven.
He went, his mom gave him a quarter, and he went and got one of these. It's an eagle signet ring with a Nazi swastika on the bottom, patterned after the Fourth Reich. Why is this even made, let alone sold in a vending machine? And this isn't some fluke. Apparently, this actually happened. That they manufactured these. The company says they are now pulling these rings out of circulation, meaning they're still out there.
I was kind of hoping it would be like a one-time occurrence. Like, this is some sort of weird guerrilla performance art piece by the people that work for the company in China that manufactures all that goofy shit.
Yeah,
like, someone
I was
just
thinking that, you know, this can't be nationwide. And then when they're like, we will pull that particular piece, I'm like, holy shit, they did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Nazi memorabilia. Who in the fuck thought in 2014 them kids are just gonna love them Nazi rings, right?
I've never understood Nazi memorabilia. It's just, I don't know, of all the different kinds of memorabilia out there, that's just such a weird one to be into. And it doesn't necessarily mean you're a Nazi. Like, I know Lemmy Kilmister has a huge collection of Nazi memorabilia, and I don't think he hates the Jews. I've never been
Sid
given
Vicious
cause to believe that.
Sid Vicious famously wore that swastika t-shirt all the time.
I've never understood the whole thing. So, I mean, that's my best case scenario, is that a couple of Chinese people that are working 17 hours a day in that sweatshop that makes that crap, one of them inherited some kind of a Nazi ring and hated everything about the Nazis, said, I don't fucking want this. I'm going to give it to an American kid. And then off it goes into one of those machines.
But the larger question is, why would this even be manufactured? Is there a big market for children's Nazi memorabilia? Is there a big market for Nazis? I mean, the company made this and knew full well what they were doing. And when the news station, when the local like ABC affiliate goes and talks to, you know, their representative, he doesn't seem surprised that it's there. Just surprised people are bitching about it.
Yeah, so they knew it was a Nazi ring. They just didn't see a problem with it. Or, I don't know, it's like they're caught, but they sort of saw it coming. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I get it. It's kind of terrible.
This was going to happen sooner or later, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what the fuck took you guys so long? We've been doing this since the 70s.
Boggles my fucking mind things. But
and they didn't give like any kind of a like a public statement or like any kind of
their only public statement was that they will remove that ring from circulation.
There's just no explanation offered of like how the like why they started manufacturing.
No.
Like damn.
Just okay, you have a problem with it? I'll remove it.
They're taking kind of a Cosby stance on that.
Let's go to the last thing for this segment. Okay, you've seen those I Can't Breathe shirts to commemorate Eric Gardner's death, right?
Yes.
Just how far would you, Charlie McMullen, go to make money? Do you have a line of decency you will not cross?
No, not as such. Like, I don't have a line of decency that I've even come close to yet. I just have one rule. It's more of just like an ethic that I go by. I will debase myself for money, like, you know, all day long. It depends on who's willing to pay for what, but I will not involve anyone else in it. And I don't think trying to profit off of a tragedy like this is right. People shouldn't do that.
Well, Catherine Crump of Illinois seems to disagree. She went to the Patent and Trademark Office and attempted to trademark I Can't Breathe. So now, if her trademark goes through, anyone who wants to sell an I Can't Breathe shirt or buy an I Can't Breathe shirt has to pay her. Is that genius or holy shit, are you a scumbag, lady?
It's a genius scumbag move. I think it's both. I mean, I'd like to think the majority of people would never, ever do something like this. But I'm not surprised that someone's doing it because people are scumbags. And I mean, this is not even the first time it's happened. I mean, on like right after the World Trade Center, people were selling T-shirts like within a week, like all around Ground Zero and shit. Like they
didn't try and trademark it so no one else could.
Right, I understand that, but I think it's just the same kind of behavior, just for a 15 years later, almost, kind of culture, you know what I mean? Because everybody is trying to trademark everything now. There is no, if you're trying to start a new company and you're trying to register your name, bring a fucking thermos of meth and just park there for a few weeks, because everybody is trying to copyright everything. I think that's just the natural progression of selling World Trade T-shirts outside of Ground Zero in a week, you know what I mean?
But don't you think this crosses a line of decency that these people are wearing these shirts and selling these shirts? And from what I understand, most of the people that are selling these shirts, like the activists, they're selling them at cost. They are not making a profit. It costs them $20 to print a shirt. They charge $20 for it. Okay? So they're doing it because they believe in the cause. And this scumbag woman, Crump, just went, you know what? There's real money to be made in here. These people are just giving away profit. What's wrong with them? This is that Alex Jowski, Ayn Rand kind of shit. Why shouldn't I profit off other people?
Yeah, speaking of real people being cartoonish rich guys, that is such a like a fucking Mr. Burns move, you know?
Are we really to this point?
I've got nothing to add. We are at this point. I mean, this is devastating, like, to me, but it's not surprising.
People are
scum, man.
People are scum, and I think that's the problem is with me, because I keep trying to see the best in people, and then stories like this happen. And then, to make it even worse, did you see what the New York City police did on the I Can't Breathe shirts?
No, I didn't see that part.
They printed up I Can Breathe shirts, and they are wearing...
Oh, come on!
I'm not joking. New York City
Jesus.
Police officers are wearing I Can Breathe shirts.
God,
because apparently being a scumbag is something that's required to be a cop in New York nowadays.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't hurt. Jesus Christ, that's appalling. Why the fuck would you do that? There's no... Oh, that is
show
the
them
most...
hippie liberal faggots what it means to be a cop!
That's what it is, isn't it? Jesus Christ. See, oh my God, it's hard not to hate all cops in wake of all this shit. I know not all cops are worth that, but the ones that are are so much fucking louder and uglier, it's hard to look at anything else.
And your dad was a cop for I don't know how many years.
Yes, shit like that is exactly why he is not a cop now.
So, we're going to take a break.
plumbers out with me all day long. I've had electricians with me all day long. Hi, I am Hart D. Fisher. You're listening to a very tired, beaten-up heart attack. I'm pretty worn out. I've been having to get up early to deal with workmen at my property quite a bit. Been crazy. Things are really popping with American Horrors. If you folks have not seen it, check out American Horrors. We have a really great paranormal show called Mission Terror. That's going really well. And here I am doing Heart Attack. And, you know, I don't know if you saw this, Josh, but apparently the state of Colorado is paying $3 million to a family of a mentally ill prisoner who died shackled face down on a floor. That's right, folks. The Colorado Department of Corrections is going to cough up $3 million to the family of a mentally ill prisoner who died while the prison staff ignored his seizures and shackled him to a restraint chair, and a nurse completely ignored him and allowed this 35-year-old guy to die right in front of them. Fucked up. Or I could talk about the billion-dollar surveillance blimp that's going to launch over Maryland. That's right, folks. It's not easy enough to spy on us. Now the Army's going to launch the first of two massive blimps over Maryland, an 18-year-long, $2.8 billion Army project intended to use giant airships to defend against cruise missiles and, oh yeah, spy on us. Because while these blips may never, ever have to be used to stave off a barrage of enemy missiles, their ability to spot and track cars, trucks, and boats hundreds of miles away is raising serious privacy concerns. Oh, we could talk about that, sure. Or we could talk about, I don't know, Obama, half-assed moron. After Obama makes it very clear that cybercrime is considered an act of war, now he's backpedaled in the hack of Sony. He's calling it vandalism. Our president is now referring to a million-dollar theft of information. Millions of dollars have been burned. People aren't getting paid. Production has been halted. Oh, that's vandalism, Josh. Vandalism. Yeah, right. So no, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the FBI. Guess what, guys? FBI is doing a whole new review of how they obtain and how they manage their evidence. Apparently, there's 1,600 pieces of evidence that have been signed out for 4 months or more before they were returned.
Also, the fact that of the 41,000 pieces of evidence reviewed by auditors, there were errors in over half of them. So that's
right,
ballpark 20,000 pieces of evidence that they somehow screwed up in some manner.
Mm-hmm. And I quote, the report reads that a majority of the errors identified were due in large part to human error, attributable to a lack of training and program management oversight. It seems to me that our police and our FBI and these people in charge of security, instead of us giving them more and more power over us and more ability to invade our privacy and spy on every damn thing we do, but they're going to fuck it up anyway because it's human error. You know, there's a Navy SEAL out there who helped invent the code book for anti-terrorism activities of the Navy SEALs. I'm talking about Demo Dick Marchenko, founded Red Cell, which was an anti-terrorism task force of the Navy SEALs. And the thing he said about defeating security forces is, you don't defeat the machine, you defeat the person behind it. And what do we see here? Do they need more laws? Does the FBI need more laws? No. They need training, program management oversight. They need more money to get their shit together. How about that one, huh, Josh?
I don't know if it's more money or stop hiring the retarded nephew of the director's ex-wife.
How about this
one? One of the things I've heard about the FBI is, we like to hold them up as some bastion of law enforcement. And maybe they used to be. Now I've heard there is nepotism and favors like you would not believe, that people who were unqualified to be mall security guards are now licensed agents because of who they know.
Well, think about it. Wasn't the FBI that had a suspect in the Boston bombing and they were questioning him and somehow they had to shoot him up with bullets while they're in the middle of questioning a guy that's smaller, that's in their custody, who's got a bum knee, and they had to shoot him 7 fucking times? Give me a fucking break, folks. Guess what else they found out about these mistakes? They found out that the FBI was holding on to more weapons than they thought they were. Wait a minute. What did I just say? That's right. I said the FBI was holding on to more weapons than they even knew they had. They found out that they had 2 tons of drugs more than they had in their records. So what are you telling me? I'm John Q. Public. What are you telling me, FBI? You had 2 tons of drugs you didn't know about? Give me a fucking break, dude. If you were working for that TV network you used to work for, Josh, and you said, hey, guys, there's a whole edit bay that I forgot about over here in the corner, you'd get fired, wouldn't you?
This is not Fox Mulder's FBI anymore, you know?
Dude, it was never like that either. If you need to be eavesdropping and spying on people, you're a shitty detective, all right? When you're a detective, you are using clues. You are using your mind. You are using logic.
You detect.
You detect. You are going through a crime and using facts and using evidence, and you are figuring out the crime with your frickin' brain. Not anymore. These guys couldn't detect their way out of a paper bag. They just want to sit in a car, eat bad fast food, and spy on everybody. Spy, spy, spy. Well, that's fucking lazy, man, and it's not going to get a real smart criminal. It won't get you a smart criminal. Fucking ridiculous. I just can't get past 2 tons of drugs. Not, you know, oh, I had a baggie of weed in my trunk.
You know, Hart, two tons. You can easily misplace 2 tons of cocaine, right? I mean, you know, it's one of those things that you just forget about.
So does the FBI just keep drugs sitting in a locker so they could just dump it on whoever they want to put in jail, Josh? Because if you just happen to have a bunch of, drugs lying around the FBI, sure would be easy to plant that on a political person, wouldn't it?
Look at what J. Edgar Hoover tried to do to Martin Luther King. They verified this, that when King was riling up the darkies back in the 60s, they actually, what we would consider Photoshop, they were going to fake a pornographic movie with him and an underage white girl to completely discredit Martin Luther King, who was doing nothing more than trying to fight for civil rights. They were willing to do that. They're willing to do anything.
Listeners at home, people who listen to this, I know we have a lot of young listeners in the audience, and you have been brainwashed by the media machine in America. And they put all these cop shows on TV, and they put all these FBI movies up, and they sell you an idea of what it is. And the reality is far, far different. Folks, I hope you are having a wonderful, wonderful holiday. I am Hart D. Fisher. This is Heart Attack. Tune into the hour-long Heart Attack that normally comes on before What the Fuck. Check us out on SoundCloud or 1201beyond.com. And check out the archives. We've had a lot of really great shows come on. I really enjoyed doing this show. This is the last. I don't know if we're going to record. Like, are we going to get a Heart Attack on? No, this is the last Heart Attack segment of the year, isn't it, Josh?
It is, because the next time we do record will be on New Year's.
Yeah,
so
wow,
this is the last
crazy.
Heart Attack of 2014.
Yeah, it's been a great ride. It's been a lot of fun. I hope everybody out there is doing all right. I wish everybody the best. And here's the one thing I want to leave with everybody. There are a lot of people out there that are going to convince you, your privacy's gone, man. Give up. Your rights are gone, man. Give up. I'm a guy who can tell you they're not gone. They're there. You can take them back. They're yours. Take them back. You can win. If you think there's a law you don't like, defeat it. Have the law changed. Go in there. Our society is malleable. We can make changes. And with all the protest marches we've seen around the country about police violence, and now we finally have politicians that will actually talk about the issue of police violence, folks, you could see sometimes it does work. So what I would urge to you is if you think you're lost, you think you're beaten, if you think the game is over, I, Hart Fisher, a man who has crawled out of his own damn grave more times than I can count, I'm here to tell you, you can beat them, we can still win.
let's start with the evil but lesser evil for this segment. In Massachusetts, in Melrose, Massachusetts, a convenience store was selling lottery tickets. Fine. Well, all the news reports just say mentally handicapped woman. So I'm assuming like a retarded person or, you know, functional woman, whatnot. She
lottery folk.
She bought a scratcher and it was a $10,000 winner. Well, the owner of the store gave her $930. Do you see a problem here?
That's a far smaller number.
Well, he told her it was just a $1,000 winner, and after taking the store's cut, which they legally get, he gave her $930 in cash, and then went to go and turn in the $10,000 ticket for himself at the lottery commission, because he saw, this chick is really slow, I can con $9,000 out of her, I'm not giving her $10,000. Well, the lottery commission has a problem with this. They have now revoked his license. They have said that her story matches the ticket and everything, and the video footage backs her up. Now he's saying, no, Charlie, this is just a huge misunderstanding. It was a math error on my part.
Jesus Christ. Remember what we were saying earlier about people being scum?
Yes, I do.
This is a new low. I mean, Jesus Christ. Okay, I work in a convenience store, so I understand why you would spend every minute of every day wanting to be anywhere else, because anywhere else would be far better if it's not a convenience store.
I've worked convenience stores too. I know that job, man.
Fucking awful. So I get wanting to get out, but this is just too fucking evil. I mean, stealing money from a mentally handicapped woman who won the lottery after coming to your store every day for the past 6 fucking years buying all these scratch tickets. She finally wins $10,000 and you're going to steal it because, oh, Jesus Christ, this guy is awful.
Well, and his story doesn't hold up at all, because anything over $1,000, the lottery commission has to cash those tickets. So there's no possible way he could have – it was a math error that, oh, I was going to give her all $10,000. Oh, you mean the $10,000 that you're not legally able to give out because of Massachusetts state law and the lottery commission regulations?
He's just committed an atrocity and tried to get out of it with the worst possible lie.
I wonder if this is actually a felony. I wonder if that actually constitutes fraud. I wonder if that's just a violation of the lottery commission rules, or if that's an actual crime he committed.
It constitutes fraud. It constitutes taking advantage. I know that's a crime. I just don't know what it's called. But taking some kind of advantage of someone who is not mentally competent. Some kind of legal thing there. I don't know. I want this guy to do time. I want him to try to pretend that it's a girl's penis on his first night in prison and not be able to do it.
The store is now being basically boycotted. No one wants to go to the store anymore. R&D's Deli and Market. You know, people, there's a local news report, because we're getting this off My Fox Boston. People are like, you know what? I'm not shopping there anymore. This guy's a scumbag, and now he's claiming he's the victim. How this is ruining his life. You tried to steal $9,000 from a retarded girl. You deserve to have your life ruined.
Yes, Rick? You do. Jesus Christ. I can't believe that shit. That's one of the worst things I've ever heard of somebody doing.
How about we go to Missouri? The cat would be perfect for this, since she lives there. How about we go to Missouri and we find State Representative Rick Bratton? He wants to make abortion illegal if the father does not want the child aborted. He wants women to have to literally ask permission to get an abortion, even in the cases of rape. He said, the women who are the victims of legitimate rape have other outlets.
Just when you thought we were done with that phrase, right?
That's why I sighed there, because I had to say it.
That was some Kif Croker sighing, man.
He wants, even if, like, for instance, a rape happened or the woman is being beaten, quoting, what does this have to do with the child's life? Just because it was an abusive relationship, does that mean the child should die?
I don't know how to respond to that, man. It's like, you're giving rights to rapists. That's the easiest way to explain it.
You're and also giving them an 18-year pass to invade the life of the woman that they raped. because they'll say, hey, I get to be there for this kid. So you've got to drop him off at my house, and you have to now deal with me for 18 more years because I raped you.
So, I mean, if you rape a woman and don't wear a condom and knock her up, the state would like you to have a second chance to keep control over her, not just for the 45 seconds it took you to rape her, but for 18 years. And the woman, who is the actual victim, has no say, can just let you do that. Wow. Like, okay, if you're raped, we're going to give the guy that raped you a chance to control your life for the next 20 years. Probably just beating the shit out of you. Well, I mean, he is a rapist. I don't want to, you know, make assumptions about people, but if someone rapes you, they're probably not going to make the best husband. So they want that to happen. But in the sense of being fair and balanced, a man can't get a vasectomy without his wife's permission. Vasectomies, which can be reversed. Rape cannot be reversed, as far as I know. I'm not a doctor. Yeah, it just doesn't really add up for me.
How about we move from that to our final thing, which is more of an esoteric thing and more of a vague question. Now, you know about the Sony attack and how they pulled the Seth Rogen, James Franco, quote, comedy, the interview and whatnot.
Okay, I'm not going to do this if you're going to be all snide about Seth Rogen and James Franco. I like those guys.
I think the trailer for this thing was horrendous. It didn't look remotely funny.
Fuck you. I think it had like a Spies Like Us kind of vibe to it.
Well, it got pulled because of, quote, North Korean threats. The FBI says North Korea did it, as does the NSA. But not only does North Korea claim that they didn't do it, general consensus is they don't even have the ability to do it. So I'm not saying North Korea did this, but I'm saying someone claiming to be working on the behalf of North Korea threatened Sony. They would stage, quote, 9/11 style attacks on movie theaters that showed the interview. When large movie chains started pulling out, Sony said, this is a $45 million movie. We can't release this to no theaters if they're not going to show it. So we have to pull the movie. Well, just today they said, and I've never even heard of this before, they are going to put the movie out for free on Crackle, whatever that is. Apparently it's a streaming service that Sony owns. This is the first time I'm hearing about it. The more esoteric question is, where does the morality and the ethics come into something like this? Franco and Rogan made this movie. Because it pissed off a foreign government, it should be shelved. Do foreign governments now have the right to tell us what we can say about them? Is this the death of free speech in Hollywood?
That's kind of where I've been ever since I heard about this story, like just all over the place. Because first of all, I saw the teaser trailer for the interview like a really long time ago. And then I didn't hear anything about it for months. So I thought, wow, I guess that, you know, they weren't going to go that far. I guess it got pulled. So that's what I thought already. And then when they picked a Christmas Day release, I started seeing trailers all the time. Naked and Afraid thing. James Franco is hosting Saturday Night Live. I'm hearing all about it now. I think this might be a marketing thing, but probably not.
Well, you know, considering that the NSA is involved, if it's a marketing thing, Sony really overstepped their bounds.
Right, which kind of leads me to believe, ultimately, that it's not a marketing thing.
Especially so because the hack has basically destroyed Sony. All those emails that they leaked have completely wrecked Sony and a lot of their relationships with Hollywood, because all the snotty little emails about how the executives hate Adam Sandler movies, how the script for Spider-Man 2 is one of the most incompetent scripts that they've ever read, how Angelina Jolie is nothing but a spoiled brat and Sony doesn't want to work with her, and you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I don't think this is marketing, because it's almost anti-marketing for keeping Sony afloat.
Because they are going to have problems for many years to come because of this. So I don't think it's a marketing thing. But I'm trying to look at it as an actual issue, and I'm of a number of different minds about this. First of all, I think it does have a tinge of the death of free speech. You should not – no government should make the decision, no, I'm going to censor their art because I don't like it. I'd like to assume that world leaders are elected in most cases just based on the quality of person that they are. I know that's what we try for in America too, and it does not always work. So there's probably some scumbags running things all over the world like there are here in America. God, I really, really don't like that. But on the other hand, I know that North Korea is a nuclear power. They can nuke us at any time. I mean, they really could.
I'd like to think they wouldn't, because of the movie.
They can't. They can't. They've been trying to be a nuclear power. They don't have it yet.
They don't have it yet?
No.
Even so, because Kim Jong-il was a fucking maniac, who, by the way, would never have censored a movie. I don't want to defend Kim Jong-il, but his son is fucking things up because Kim Jong-il was a huge movie fan. He never would have pulled any shit like this. So I think you're disappointing the people of North Korea by acting this way.
I mean, it's somebody working either on behalf of North Korea or they're just trying to cloak the Sony hack going to the North Korean thing since North Korea is a big part of the interview. The Sony hack, no matter who did it, they're about to make me say something I never thought I'd say before. Newt Gingrich was right. Newt Gingrich said, "No one should kid themselves. With the Sony collapse, America has lost its first cyber war. This is a very, very dangerous precedent." Newt Gingrich isn't wrong.
No, well, okay, overall, he's not wrong, because it is a huge blow to free speech, shit like this. But America, oddly enough, does not have a dog in this fight. I mean, yeah, it's a movie starring Americans and made by Americans and made in America, probably, on a soundstage. But it's the property of Sony Pictures. It is a Japanese company. This is Japan's fight. This is Sony's fight. I don't think America has lost anything by this happening. What I was going to say earlier is I also don't like the idea of putting people at risk to be hurt in an attack for the sake of a Seth Rogen and James Franco movie. Because I like those guys, but I don't think, like, I don't want people to die for the movie. You know what I mean?
But at the same time, then you've got, whether it's a foreign government or just some hacktivists, deciding what we will and will not be watching. Does this not have shades, not even shades, this is exactly the Satanic Verses all over again. How all the bookstores, because threats of violence came out about Salman Rushdie's book, bookstores started saying, "We're not going to carry it." So then the publisher said, "Well, if we can't sell it at any bookstores, we're going to pull it." So this is the Satanic Verses as a movie, isn't it?
It kind of is. I mean, it's the same kind of thing is happening. I do understand that. I don't know.
It's an outside force deciding what we will see.
Yeah. If this is a cyber hacking thing, then it's terrorism. That's what it is. It's instilling terror to a mass of people. That's, in its basic definition, that's what it is. And that's what's happening here. Because I don't think they're really going to bomb movie theaters that show the interview, but it is a possibility, and I would hate for that to happen. That would be fucking horrible.
You being so close to Aurora and a friend having been shot in that,
That's what I'm saying.
Do you think that's altering your judgment than what your stance might have been pre-Aurora?
I think to a certain extent it probably is. I mean, I definitely, and especially because it was, you know, The Dark Knight Returns, I wouldn't want that. Oh, yeah, Dark Knight Rises is what it was. Because it was The Dark Knight Rises, I wouldn't want that to happen to someone else. So I definitely feel differently about that now than I did a few years ago, but I just, as much as I love movies, no movie is worth putting people at risk to be killed. It's just not.
Do you think that when this movie comes out on Crackle, or if, you know, whether that gets pulled or not, I don't know. But do you think when this movie comes out, considering that this was pulled after critics had seen it, the critics were wrecking this film. They were destroying it. One critic actually said after all this, "The movie's all right, but it's not worth all this." Do you think people are going to go, "You know what, after all this, I really expected a better film"?
The production of every movie has an insurance policy, so there may have been something kind of like this in the clause, given the nature of the movie. Like, everyone pretty much knew how it was going to turn out and how bad it gets. So there might have been something in the movie's insurance policy to give back some of the money that was spent if something like this happens. If North Korea threatens a terrorist attack unless the movie is pulled, then, of course, everyone will be reimbursed. Stuff like that. So maybe after the critics saw it, fucking hated it, they're like, "Holy shit, this is going to tank. Let's do this." And then the Sony hack happens, so they just tied it together and used it as a scapegoat. It's just a huge case of insurance fraud when you look at it that way.
That is one of the most cynical and yet oddly logical things I've ever heard.
My glass is half full, Josh.
The way I look at it is, this movie was probably going to bomb, and there is a possibility that you're right, because you do have some sound logic there, which I hate to ever admit about you. I'm looking at this on an artistic freedom level. I don't care whether the movie sucked. They had a right to put it out, and nobody should have been able to threaten violence to get this movie pulled. You're old enough, you remember the Last Temptation of Christ nonsense, or the protests outside of Dogma, Or, God, the protests that got Silent Night, Deadly Night yanked out of theaters back in 1984. Remember that nonsense?
I do. I worked at a movie theater during the Dogma protests, and I remember thinking every day, seeing those fuckers out there, I'm like, it is a movie. People are taking movies way too seriously. They're supposed to be entertainment. They're supposed to be what we go to when people take other shit too seriously. You know what I mean?
Do you think that this could spiral out of control beyond an artistic level? That now that the NSA is involved and North Korea is denying any involvement, we've already been kind of looking for an excuse to invade North Korea as it is. Do you think this is all a dog and pony show and we've all been ridden a little bit hard? That you think this will be the tipping point to allow us to invade North Korea, whether they actually did it or not, but the fact that the NSA and the FBI are tagging it to them, have we all been played for saps? Has Sony been played for saps? Do you think the U.S. government might have been behind the hack with this outcome in mind? Or am I Alex Jones in this?
I don't think you're Alex Jonesing it. I don't think I would ever pick any one of those things because all of that is possible. My whole time on this earth, the past 35 years, have all just been one major tipping point for society. I mean, we're on a downward slope, and this is just part of it. I'm going to cling to my insurance fraud theory because that's the only one that makes my soul hurt the least.
So, if people wanted to see Charlie McMullen, where would they go? Because he's got this, you've got this like album coming out like a few days after this episode airs, right?
Yes, on Christmas Day. You can go to geekjuicemedia.com and download my debut comedy album, Zen as Fuck, completely for free. Take the album, listen to it, I hope you like it. There will also be a PayPal donation button, because no money went into making the album. So that's why we're giving it away for free. But all the money that's donated is going to go towards my stand-up tour next spring through the South.
All right, and you can find me at 1201beyond.com and contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And remember, that cool fist with the mouth in it, punching through the newspaper's logo, we've got t-shirts of that on 1201 Beyond now, both in a censored and uncensored version. So go get a What the Fuck t-shirt, or buy one for Charlie and I. We don't even have t-shirts for our own damn show. Buy one for Kat. It would totally fuck with her mind.
Like, send it anonymously.
Just all of a sudden, a What the Fuck t-shirt shows up at Kat's house. She'd be like, what, you know, literally, what the fuck?
And then in a separate package the next day, from the same address but without a name, box of bullshit.
But also, you can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Trying to have a good night. Guys, don't be a scumbag. And as much as I didn't want to watch the interview, I say right now it's the patriotic thing to do. When the interview comes out, watch it just for Merca.
Take all the anger you're feeling after the show and go do something good with it. Piss it forward, we like to call it.
you got some gray papaw.
Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.